Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Samach Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Samach Aleph, Amud Aleph, seven lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Badaklon Rav Huna Bachinana. Rav Huna Bachinana tested us with the following questions. He Aymeris Lahonik, Behu Aymeris Shaloi Lahonik. She wants to nurse, and he wants her not to nurse. Shaiman Law. We listen to what she wants, because Tzara the Dahu. It's her pain if she will not be able to nurse. So the Beis Ephraim, interestingly, makes a point. From here we see that here, as the Gemara explains, since it's to her detriment, as we're going to explain in a moment why not to nurse, we listen to her. But under other circumstances, that's why we listen to her. That means a husband has to always make sure that what he tells his wife is to her benefit, not to her detriment. And moreover, he says that a wife has to listen to her husband, that if a husband wants her to do something which is to her benefit, she has to listen. So why is the Gemara saying that if she says she wants the nurse, it's considered to her benefit? So Machlokes Rashi and Rambam. Rashi explains, because it's painful that she has the extra milk, she's engorged, and if she can't nurse, it's painful. The Rambam takes more of a emotional explanation. He says that that's the way a woman develops a relationship with her son, with a child, and she wants to have that emotional bond that comes through nursing, and that's why we have to follow what she wants. What's the nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam? Let's say Chas v'Shalom, her child will die. So if the issue is, as Rashi explains, that she's in pain, she's engorged, so she could ask that she wants to nurse another child. If, however, we follow the Rambam's opinion, that the concern is that she wants to have an emotional bond with her child, but that's only with her own child, she can't say that she wants to nurse another child. How about if he says, Lahanik, that he wants his wife to nurse, but she doesn't want to nurse. Mahu. What is the halacha? Says the Gemara. Kal hecha delav urcha, wherever it's not really customary to nurse, shaman loy, she doesn't have to nurse. However, he urcha, she comes from a family that typically does nurse, hu lav urcha, but he comes from a family that typically does not nurse. So what is the halacha? Mag. Basa the day is leaning, do we follow his minig? Do we follow her custom? And the answer is, then you read the Sima. A wife goes up to the husband's status, but she doesn't go down. And therefore, if the husband comes from a family that they don't make the wives nurse, she doesn't have to nurse, even though she comes from a family that does typically nurse. So seeks the Gemara from a smachta for this halacha of oli imo when you read the sima. Says the Gemara, the pasuk says when Avimelech took Sarah and Hakadosh Baruch Hu says the malach comes to him, how did you take her? The pasuk says he beulas bal, teaches us the Gemara b'aliyasa shabal v'lo b'yirudasa shabal, she goes up not down. And as the Mashal explains, what the Gemara is saying is if they were trying to tell Avimelech that she was an Eishes Ish, the pasuk should have said v'hi Eishes Ish. Why does the pasuk use this unusual wording, v'hi be'ulas bal, to teach us this thing? In the Mefarshim, I saw a number of pshatim in the Mefarshim, how does this concept taught to us from this pasuk? Some say that Avimelech said that I only want to treat her as a shifcha. I don't want to treat her as a wife. So the Malach said, you can't treat her as a shifcha. She's married to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was a man of great stature, and now she is a woman of great stature. You can't treat her as a shifcha. Another pshat that I saw, Pnei Yeshu says this pshat, that Avimelech said that they had a complaint to him. You embarrassed her. You took somebody's wife. So he said, yeah, but who is Sarah? So he said, Vibula spouse. She's Avram Avinu's wife. So what you did in embarrassing her is a very serious sin. A third pshat that I saw is from the Sefer Beis Aaron. He says that the Rambam says that before, that in those times, How did a marriage dissolve? A marriage dissolved that the husband and wife decided that they're no longer married. Either the husband walked out or the wife walked out. So Avimelech said, they're obviously divorced. If she left Avram and came to me, so she's obviously not an Eish Hasish. She dissolved the marriage. So the Malach told him, she's Avram Avinu's wife. Avram Avinu, we know, was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. The Torah says you can't just get divorced by walking out. You need a get. So your claim that she's divorced, the Hebrew spouse, she has to follow Avram, and Avram follows the Torah, and they're only divorced with a get. Rabbi Lazar says a different Makor, that Olim of any Redisima. The Pasuk says regarding Chava, Ki hois aim kol chai. L'chaim nitna v'loy l'tzad nitna. A woman was given to have a good life, and you have to treat her with that kind of respect. I saw pshatim regarding this also. One pshat that I saw is that she's called Aim Kol Chai. So we see that she has so much a great title. Why? Because women, wives, have to be treated that way. Another pshat that I saw is this pasuk, when is it written in the Torah? It's written after the Aveira of the Eitz Hadas, where the earth was cursed, and Adam was cursed, and Chava was cursed, and the Noachish was cursed. But says the pasuk, even though she's cursed, Ki hoisa em kol chai, her original high status will remain forever. Why? Olima, she always goes up, Vayner Yeredis. Before Hashem say, what is the nafkamina between these two psukim? One nafkamina they give is, let's say she's married, but she did not yet have biya. If we follow the pasuk em kol chai, she already gets treated like the husband's customs. If we follow the pasuk of be'ulas bal, it's only after she had biya. Ramey Shapiro says a beautiful vart based on this Gemara. He says, the Pasuk says that when Avram Avinu was told that his name is going to be Avram, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Sarah, told Avram Avinu, Sarah ishtecha loy tikra oyt shema Sarah, ki im, loy tikra oyt shema Sarai, ki im Sarah shema. So he says, the Pasuk is a difficult Pasuk. The Pasuk says, ki im Sarah shema, her name is Sarah. It should say, Ke'im Sarah Yishma, that her name will be Sarah. What does it say? It's already Sarah. So he says, beautiful. He says, at that point, Avram Avinu's name was already changed to Avram. So once Avram goes up, if we say, Olima V'eni Yeredesima, her name automatically has to be changed because she goes up together with her husband. So we learned in the Mishnah, Hechnis Lo Shifcha, if she brought in one maid into the marriage, so some of the things that a woman has to do, techenes, etc., she doesn't have to do anymore. Ask the Gemara Shar Avda. Everything else that was listed in the Mishnah, a wife has to do for her husband, she has to continue. Ask the Gemara, why not, by Tamalei, why can't she say to him, I brought in a shifcha in my place, and that shifcha should do everything I would do. Why does she still have to do some things? Answers the Gemara. Mishum the Amala, the husband could tell the wife, this shifcha is going to do for me, the husband, and for herself. But who's going to do what you need to be done? Mantarch, there's a lot of extra work. There's an extra person, but there's extra work, and that's what you still have to continue. So there's a discussion here in Taisus. Taisus says, Sas Tema. Taisus takes it on as no question, that if she brings in a shifcha into the marriage, who has to support that shifcha? The husband. Ask Taisvis, what does the husband gain by her bringing in a shifcha? He's going to have to pay for the shifcha. As far as he's concerned, don't bring a shifcha, and let her do all the work. So, in fact, the Arishonim, I think we quoted this yesterday, that say that she would have to pay for the support of the shifcha, otherwise the husband has a legitimate claim. Taisus doesn't answer the question, but I saw a number of answers to the question. The simplest answer, which is a nice answer, is every husband is prepared to make his wife's life easier. And therefore he's prepared to have a shifcha, even though he has to pay for her support, but his wife doesn't have to do so much work. Another teretz that I saw is almost the opposite. We've learned earlier in the perek that everything that a woman earns, plus past the basic earning, she turns over to her husband. So the husband makes the following calculation. If she has a shifcha, she could work more hours. If she could work more hours, she could earn more money. So it's worth it to him. Another pshat that I saw is that the shifcha, he says, you know, shifchas work better than wives. So it's worth it to him to have a shifcha over a wife. Along the same line, I saw a teretz that we know the Torah says, Pashas Mishpatim, that the children of the shifcha, Kananis, belong to the master. So it's worth it to him, even if he has to support the shifcha, but she'll produce children, and those children will be his slaves. We learned further in the Mishnah, Shtayim, if she brings in two slaves, Enim Vashalos, Enim Anika. She doesn't have to cook, and she doesn't have to nurse. Hashara Avda. But we see that the other things that she does have to do. Now ask the Gemara again, the Tamalei, why can't she say, Ayos L'cha Itasa Chriti, I brought in two shifchas, the Tarchi, one shifcha will work L'didi L'dida, on my behalf and on her own behalf, the Chada, another shifcha, will work L'dida Chulida, on your behalf and her behalf, so we have enough people to cover all the work, why do I have to do anything? Answers the Gemara, Mishund Amala Kamei Archi Uparchi. Archi means guests that stay for a little while, and Parchi means guests that stay just for a short while. Mantarach, and like Rashi explains, it's already a big household. They have a couple and two shvachis. It's a household where it's common to have a lot of guests, and who's going to take care of them? In fact, the Rishonim pay prove from this Gemara that a husband could bring guests home, and the wife could say, I don't want any, can't say, I don't want any guests. That's part of a Jewish home. Says the Mishnah further, Shalosh, once there are three shvachos, and a mitzvah and meita. Ask the Gemara, Hashar Avd, the other things, she still has to continue doing. But now ask the Gemara, V'temalei, why can't she say, I leis l'cha achriti, and I already brought in a third shivcha that will take care of the orchi parchi, and why do I have to do anything? Answers the Gemara, Mishum D'Amala, Nafish B'nei Beisa, once there's so many people, Nafish, Archi, Parchi, there are a lot of guests, and three shifchas can't do all the work. Ask the Gemara, Farchi, I feel Arba Nami. So then even if she brings in four shifchas, we should keep on always having this problem that we can't keep up. Answers the Gemara, Arba Kivin in the Fishalu, once you have four people, Messina Adadi, there's so much of a large staff, so even if there's a day with a lot of guests, those shvachas will be able to cover all of the household chores, and she doesn't have to do anything. Says the Gemara, Om Rav Chana b'Tem Rav Shmu v'Nachmeni, Loich Nitzlo Mamish. It doesn't require that she actually brought in the shivcha. It doesn't require that she actually brought in the shivcha. But even if she just kivin shiroi lahaknis, apish loich nitzlo. So the machloikas we shine him and how to understand this line of the Gemara. Rashi explains it very simple, that if she brought in a very large dowry into the marriage, so therefore she brought in enough that he could buy a shivcha or shvachos, and she shouldn't have to work. Tosfos explains it differently. Tosfos says that if he is a man of wealth, even though she didn't bring in a large nadin, she could say, you could afford shvachos, buy shvachos, and I shouldn't have to work so hard. And then there's a third pshat, along what we learned earlier in the shir from other Rishonim, that if she comes from a family that is, she's accustomed to live in a home with shvachos to do all the work, she could say, this is what I'm used to, early mother any redesima, and you have to set up such a lifestyle for myself that I'm accustomed to. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Tana echachach, nitzalav echachat simtzalam mishalah. Another way she could say that he has to support her with shvachos is if, as we've been learning, the husband has to give the wife a certain amount of support. If the husband does, if she foregoes that he doesn't have to buy jewelry and foregoes that she doesn't have to buy a perfume, and for that buy a shivcha instead, she can make that demand. Arba, we learned in the Mishnah, once there are four shvachos, Yosheves b'katagri. She sits on a throne, she doesn't really have to do anything. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yitzchak b'Chananya, Omer Rav Huna, Abish Omer Yosheves b'katagri. Even though the Mishnah says that once she has four shvachos, she sits on a throne, Ab Mezeges lois akais, Umetzas lois amita. She should still pour his cup, make his bed, Machetz loipanav yadav v'raglav, and wash him. And as Rashi explains, even though she's not halachically required to do this, because she has the shvachos, still, Chazal are giving us advice for Shalom Bayis, and that she should do things that cause that they should have a closer relationship. And all these things bring a closeness between a husband and a wife. And mitzvah la samita doesn't mean necessarily working with all the linen, just doing things to bring a closeness. Whatever a wife has to do on behalf of her husband, nida ois labal, even when she's a nida, she does, chutz mimazigas akois, except from pouring the wine, pouring the cup. So it's a very big machlokes rishonim and paiskim, how to understand this. There's some rishonim that are very lenient, and they say what this gemara means, that she's the one that actually pours the cup, and serves him, and it's only wine. That's the only thing that's usur. We, however, don't follow that psak. We hold that she's not allowed to serve him any food in a normal fashion, as we're going to learn soon. And we also know that regarding wine, not only is she not supposed to serve him, but he's not supposed to serve her either. And that's why the halach is that when one's wife is a nida, he shouldn't pour a kiddush into her cup, from the becher into her cup, because that's mezigas hakos. The tzas amita means making the bed. She's not supposed to make a bed, as we'll see in a moment, in front of him when she is a nida. And Chochmas Adam says the same thing goes for him to her, that a husband should not make his wife's bed in her presence when she's a nida. V'archotz as pan of Yadav Raglov, that means washing him. And here too, the Rashba says, obviously washing him is aser. She's not allowed to touch him. So how could she wash him? He says what the Gemara means here is she's not allowed to draw baths for him when she's a nida. V'atzah samita, amarava, when we speak about making the bed, loya amarn el befonav. It's only regarding when he's there. Avashla befonav, to make his bed when he's not in the room, less lombard is no problem. Umazigas akos, and we learned that she's not allowed to give him wine. Says the Gemara, shmul machlef edaveisa, b'yad edusmala. The halach is that when one's wife is a nida, she's supposed to serve him with a shinui, so she used to serve him with the left hand. Abaya, manchla puma de kuba. Abaya would put the food on top of the barrel, not on top of the table. Rava Beisadja, he would put it on the pillow. Rapapa's wife would put it, Arshashifa, on a stool, but not directly in front of him, or because you have to make a shinui when one's wife is serving you when she's a nida. So, a few halacha lemaisa. The halacha is that a wife is not allowed to give anything directly into her husband's hands when she's a nida. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Ramah goes on to say, not only is she not allowed to give it directly into his hands, she's not allowed to throw it to him. However, the Ramah says, the Pesach Tshuva, I mean, says that if they're giving a child over, then it's mutter. However, the Pesach Tshuva says it's only for a child that's old enough that they could walk or she could walk by himself. Because chai noises atzmai. But if the child is still an infant and can't walk itself, then you're not allowed to pass the child from the husband to the wife when she's a nida. Ramosha says in the Tshuvas, and this is a common mistake, that this halacha even applies to rabbim. People think that's only in the privacy of a home. He says the halacha that a nida is not supposed to pass something directly to a husband is even in public. However, continuing discussing these halachas about how she may serve him, even though she's not allowed to directly serve him, the halacha is if she's putting a serving platter in the middle of the table that everybody's going to eat from, that's not called serving him, and she could put it down in the normal fashion. Certainly she's allowed to cook on his behalf when she's a nida, and she's also allowed to set the table in a normal fashion when she's a nida, even his table setting. Tosfos quotes a Rashi that seems to make a distinction between a woman when she's actually experiencing her period versus the time of the Shiva Nikiyim, and that these halachas only apply during the Shiva Nikiyim. But while the woman is actually experiencing a period, we have to even be more machmer. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says perhaps in those days a woman will go to the mikveh before she started the Shiva Nikiyim. By us, we don't obviously do that, and there is no difference halachically. A nida is a nida, and all the halachas apply. There's an interesting machlokes ha'achronim, the Shelah and the Divrei Malkiel. The Gemara here mentions certain harchokes which we know are brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that have to be done between a husband and a wife when she's a nida. So the Shlo says, if one wants to be machmer and add hachokas, fantastic. But you have to do what the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say. But you could do more if you want. Divrei Melchiel disagrees. He says, Chazal taught us what to be done, and that's what should be done, and what, no need to add. Says the Gemara further, Amar Vitzel Bachananya, Amar Rav Huna, Hako Mashim Bifnei Hashamish. They used to have a way to serve them. So says the Gemara, you could wait. They had to give the waiter meal, food, but you could wait till the end of the meal. You don't have to give it to him as he's bringing it out. Chutz mibas v'yayin. Wine or meat, you have to serve him right away, because he gets an appetite, and you have to take care of that. Amrav Chizda, b'as shaman, what kind of meat? Fatty meat, v'yayin yoshin, old wine. Amrav, b'as shaman, fatty meat, you have to serve him immediately, kalashana kula the whole year. Yayin yoshin, however, old wine, if it's kufas tamas. Tamas, it's very hot. And wine, old wine, quenches the thirst. That's why we have to be careful. Amar Rav Anan bar Tachlifa, have a imna kamei de mashmul. I was once standing in front of a shmul. Vaisle tafshili de ardi. They brought him turnips. Vila of the yavle. If he not had been served those turnips immediately, he had such an appetite. If we didn't serve it to him, istakne, he could have been in danger. Amar Rav Ashi, have a imna kamei de Rav Huna. Vaisalai, Gagilgalai, the lifter, they brought him turnips that were cooked, bechal and vinegar. Vilav the Yovle, had he not been served them immediately, istikni, he would have been in danger. Rapapama, afila tamrasa danusa. It's a fat date. Also, he should be given right away. Klo de milsa, the rulers. Kol de isle recha. Anything that has a good aroma. Or isle kyu, has a good taste, we should give him immediately, because otherwise it's sakana. Says the Gemara, Avu Bahi Uminyam Bahi. These were two brothers. Chat Sofi Mekomina Mina. One would serve the waiter every food as he served it. Chat Sofi Mechad Mina. And one would give him at the beginning of the meal one of the things, and the rest of the food he would wait till the end of the meal. Says the Gemara, Mar, the one that served the waiter every type as it was brought out, Mishtor Eliyahu Bahadei, Elio would come to visit him. Uma lo ishtar Elio Bade, Elio did not come to visit him. Says the Gemara, Hanu tata chesidim, there were two chesidim, Vamele Ramori v'rapinches b'nei Rav Chizda, these two brothers. Ma kodem sofi, one would serve the waiter at the beginning. Uma ma chesofi, the other would wait. Says the Gemara, the kodem sofi, the one that would serve the waiter immediately, Eliyahu Mishtar Bahadei, Eliyahu came to visit. The Ma'achar Sofi, the one that did it later, La Mishtar Eliyahu Bahadei, did not get Eliyahu to visit him. And I saw a beautiful pshat. The two times in the Jewish calendar that we see Eliyahu Novi, that everybody seems to meet Eliyahu and Novi, is Pesach by night, by the Seder we open the door for Eliyahu and Novi, and Matzoi Shabbos, those that say Zmiris Matzoi Shabbos, not that we keep on speaking about Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. What is unique about those two times? So the Mepharshim say, Ben Yoyada says this, those are the two times that we invite guests. We begin to say the Kolach Manya, Kaldich Ven Yesev Yechel, Kaldichruch Yesev Yitzchuch, we invite guests to our table. Shabbos, we also have guests by our table. So we say whenever we have guests, whenever we are goyim lechasadim, whenever we do achnasas archim, our Gemara here taught us that people who treat other people nicely, what do they get for that? They get to see Eliyahu HaNavi. That's why Pesach and Motzei Shabbos we mention Eliyahu HaNavi. Says the Gemara, Amemu Mazut River of Ashi. These people have a kiyosvi apischa debe azgramalka. We're sitting at the entrance of the palace of Azgamalcha. Most Rishonim, that's the way we're going to explain the Gemara, he wasn't Jewish, he was a Melech Pras. Cholof v'ozel aturgna de Malka, the waiter of the king passed by, Chazir of Ashi l'mazutra, and Rav Ashi saw mazutra, the chover ape, he got pale, because he got an appetite for the food that was passed, shokel etzbasei, anech lebepumei, so he immediately took his finger, put it into the food, to serve Mazutra. So the Masha asks that we know that Hashta behemtim shel tzadikim. We quoted this just yesterday. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is careful that even the animals of tzadikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevita kolal yodam, that they don't eat macholos asuris, so how did Mazutri eat this non-kosher food? So Masha says he didn't eat it. All he did was he took a drop of it and put it on his mouth. He didn't swallow. But that already quenched his appetite that he shouldn't be in danger. Amalei. So the way that says to Rav Ashi, you've ruined the king's meal. He won't eat from this dish anymore. Amalei, amai taver hachi. So Rav Ashi had to defend himself. So he says, how did you prepare such a meal? Amalei, man the aver hachi pasul the malka. You can't serve such food to the king. It's not good. Amalei mai. So the waiter says, what's wrong with the food? Amalei dover ache chazebe. So Rashi explains, dover ache we know means lard, means from a pig. But here it didn't mean pig itself, because if he wasn't Jewish, he's allowed to eat pork. What it meant is that the animal that this meat came from had saras. So he says the king can't eat this meat anyway. But chavalayashkechu. So they checked and they saw that it was perfectly fine. So they said, what are you telling us? There was something wrong with the food. Shakal atzbasei. So he was in trouble now. He took his finger on a chalei and he put it on the food. Amalei hachab migdisu. Did you check this spot? Did you analyze this spot? What is the food? Batku ashkecha. And they actually found that it was made with pork meat that was infected with tzaras. Amalei rabbanan, my time is samchas anisa. So rabbanan asked them, how are you so comfortable to say this and be sure? I saw that there was a tzaras on this food, and therefore I was comfortable in saying this. So there's a fascinating chasam sofer based on this gemara. The chasam sofer says, look at what Rav Ashi did. Rav Ashi put himself into danger, because he knew by doing this to the king's food, they would be angry at him. He put himself in danger in order to save Mazutra. So Chasam Sofer wants to say from here, a very bechiddush, the Paiskim discussed this, that a person should perhaps be have to put himself even in danger to save his fellow Jew. Where does this shaila come up? Comes up, unfortunately, too often. Let's say somebody needs a kidney. So the shaila is, should somebody go donate his own kidney to save another Jew? Just like we see here, that Rav Ashi put himself into danger to save Mazutra. And based on what the Chasam Sofer says, perhaps that's what should be required. The Radvaz has a tshuva on the shaila, and Radvaz gives a number of reasons why it's not required. One reason he says is the ways of Torah are pleasant. The ways of Torah don't require that we should go and have to donate organs for somebody else. That's not what the Torah meant. Another thing he says is, whenever one donates an organ, so he's putting himself somewhat in danger. The operation, the follow-up, and that is a sakonas nefashis. Here, we don't see that person has to put himself mamish, but sakonas nefashis, to save another Jew. Says the Gemara, Hahu Ramah, there was a Roman, Damal Hu Itasa, that told a certain woman, Mincibusli, I want you to marry me. Amar Eloi, she refused. Ozel Aisirimani, so he went and brought pomegranates, Pali V'ochel Kama, and he started peeling and eating the pomegranates in front of her. Kamai the tsarale, and saliva would form in her mouth from her appetite, and balasei, and she would swallow that saliva for la havla, and that give her, he was torturing her, adazogla. She became so bloated that she looked like her skin was transparent. Lasaif amala, then he told her, imasilach, if I'll heal you, mincivously, will you marry me? Amalei in. So she said yes. Ozel Aisirimani, so he went and brought more pomegranates. Poli v'ochel kama, peeled it and ate it in front of her. Amla kamai de tsarilach, anytime saliva forms in your mouth, tuf shadoi, expel it. Adonof kimina, kihutsu yarkis, until like a green bile came out of her body, vetsias, and she was healed. In fact, the Noid Vihuda uses this Gemara, it's a good chazara for Gemara, we learned from Sechta Yevamos. The Gemara Masechta Yevamos says that the roik, the saliva, that a woman has to spit by chalitza has to be saliva that's formed independently. That's why he says the minig is that on the day a woman does chalitza, she fasts until after the chalitza. Because here we see that from seeing food, saliva could form. Now that's not independent saliva that came from the person. So in order to make sure that the saliva is real saliva, we have to, she should fast, and that's the minig, until after the chalitza. Vice b'tzemer, we learned in the Mishnah that the woman has to work with wool. Says the Gemara, b'tzemer in b'pishtan loy. Yes, with wool, not with linen. Masnisa mani, Rabbi Yehudi hi, the Tanya ena kaifa lamed lefnei aviv loy lam lefnei benoy. She doesn't have to serve his father or his son. So the Rishonim ask, we began today's shir that she has to serve the guest. And here we're saying that his father and son, she doesn't have to serve. So Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer is, the guests by definition are people who are coming for temporary. So she has to take care of them. The father and son that the Gemara here is referring to are going to be there permanently. She says, I didn't get married to have to take care of your whole family. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara here is not referring to father or son that live in his home. If they live in his home, they're part of the household, and she has to take care of everybody in the household. We're referring here that the father or son just come in, and they expect the daughter-in-law, the stepmother, to start serving them. She's not mechuyif. The loylit in tevin, she doesn't have to take care, lefnei behemtoi, in front of his animal, avakoyten litain, lefnei bakroi. So there's two pshatim in Rashi on this line of Gemara. One pshat Rashi says is behema are animals that are accused of bestiality. And therefore she could say, I want to stay away from these animals. Bakr are not animals that typically could do bestiality, and therefore she has to take care of them. Another pshat that Rashi says is that in front of female animals, she has to take care of them, because they certainly will not do bestiality. In front of male animals, there's that concern and she could refuse. Rabbi Hudaima, af ena kaifa lasa b'pishtan, she doesn't have to work with pishtan, with cotton, b'mnesha pishtan, masriach es hapeh, u'mesharbet es hasvasayim. Pshat is, then when they work with it and it's dry, they have to put it into the mouth to make it moist and easy to work with. And by putting it into the mouth, it causes bad breath, and it causes the lips to swell. Says the Gemara Bahani Mil B'Kitna Ramah, but this is only regarding Roman cotton that has this problem. Even if she brought in 100 maids, she has to do something. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Malkia, famous Gemara, we had it in Masechet Beya. First the Gemara quotes Rav Malkia with a Vav, Amar Rav Adbar Hava, Haloch Krab Lezer. The Loch is like Rebbe Lezer, that no matter how many shvachas she brings, she has to work. Amr of Chanina Bereid Rav Ika, Shvud, the Loch in Masech Debeya, of a Shvud. The Gemara there discusses if you have a spit that was used to cook on Yontif, is a muksa. The Gemara says, one man says it's muksa machasmiyas. The Mishnah, we hold that it's not muksa. Shvachas, which we're discussing now, Vagumais. We know throughout Shas, a gadol, a gedola, are determined if they have shtei saris, if they have two hairs. The Mishnah says in Masechta Nida that they don't have to have hair. If they have the pores, it's already considered that the gedola. These halachas were quoted by Rav Malkia. Blurius, is Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah says that it was typical for Ovdei Avodah Zarah to leave a certain hairstyle, leave certain hair in front of the head, which was Avodah Zarah style. That a barber, a Jewish barber, is not allowed to even leave that, and is not allowed to even cut that whole area to show that he's not getting a vow with that. Eifa Mikla, the Gemara in Masechta Makis, discusses that if a person has a wound, they used to put different types of medicine on the wound. So the Gemara says that you shouldn't put on ash, because the ash could leave a permanent color, which would be like a tattoo, which is awesome. The Gvina, the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah discusses Gvinas Akam, that you're not allowed to eat cheese from Goyim. And the Gemara says the reason is because they used to typically coat the cheese with lard. It's Asr. Ramalkia, we're all said by Ramalkia with an Aleph. Rapapa disagrees. He says, Masnisan or Masnisa, wherever you have a subject that's discussed in a Braisa or in a Mishnah, those issues were discussed by Ramalkia with an Aleph. Shmaitza, a subject that was discussed by Amoraim,
was said by Rav Malkiyahu de Vov. V'simonach, and the way to remember who said what, masnisa, everything in a Mishnah is Malkasa. A Mishnah Braisa are more than a Moirim. That's why Malkasa, it's like a queen. My benai, what is nafkamina between the first version, Rav Chanina's version, and Rav Papa's version? Ikka benai shvachis. Because shvachis, Rav Chanina said, the Tosfos says two pshatim this Gemara. The first pshat Tosfos says is that the shvachis, this everybody agrees, Rav Chanina quoted from Rav Malkiyahu. But we know Shvachis is the subject that we're discussing, is a Mishnah. So according to Rav Papa, it certainly belongs to Rav Malkiyah with an Aleph. Another passable Nafkamina is Eifa Mikla. Our Gemara, Rav Chanina, has Rav Malkiyah with an Aleph speaking about Eifa Mikla. But Eifa Mikla is not a Mishnah. Eifa Mikla is a member from a Meroy. So some Rishonim explain that what Rav Papa meant to say is all Amoraim statements go to Rav Malkiyahu. So if so, Eifa Mikla belongs to Rav Malkiyahu, not to Rav Malkiyahu. Other Rishonim Tosfos quotes say that what Rav Papa meant to say is a Mishnah Braisa belongs to Rav Malkiyahu with Aleph exclusively. Amoraim could be said by either one. And according to those opinions, this halach of Eifa Mikla could remain with Rav Malkiyahu with Aleph. Rav Shimon Gamaliel Oimer. So the Mishnah quoted both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel saying that a woman has to do something. The only difference was Rabbi Elazar said Batola Mevil De Zima, that if she does nothing it could come to immorality, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said Batola Mevil De Shamam, it could make her insane. Says Gemara, Hayna Tanakam, what's the difference? She shouldn't sit idle. What's the difference? Why? Answers Gemara, Ikvanaya De Metala Beguria Isakutanaisa, if she plays with small puppies, Vinadarisha, Nadisha is chess. So if the concern is playing chess, playing game. So if the concern is that she shouldn't be idle, because being idle will make her go crazy, so she's not idle. But if the concern is that by being idle it could come to Zima, so even if she's doing something, but what she's doing is not really constructive, that could still bring Lidei Zima. Not only according to Blessed does she have to do something, but she has to do something which is truly constructive. Says the Mishnah, Hamadaris Ishtoi Mitashma Shamita. If somebody makes a neder that his wife is not allowed to benefit from him, from Tashma Shamita. So the Mefarshim, Rashi explains, a man can't make a neder that his wife is also to have Tashma Shamita, because he has a prior obligation to give his wife Tashma Shamita. So that nether is totally ineffective. What the Gemara here means, say to Rishonim, Rashi, is that he made a nether that he's not going to have benefit from her. He's mechuyif to give her Tashmish. She's not mechuyif to give him Tashmish. And that's why the nether is an effective nether. Says the Mishnah, Beshamer Oimrim, Shtei Shabosis. If he made a nether, Mechlok Rishonim, how to understand this. Most Rishonim explain that if he made a neder that for 2 weeks he's not going to have hanor from him, that the neder is effective. Be'sel oimrim Shabbos achas. Only if, as soon as it's 1 week, they have to get divorced. And the Gemara is going to discuss this more in a moment. So I saw the interesting shaila the Rishonim already discussed. Why can't he do tashmish? When he's doing tashmish, he's doing it to be mekayim a mitzvah. And mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu. So I saw a very important yesoid from the Ran. The Ran says that even though we have a rule throughout Shas, mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu, it doesn't mean to say that if you're doing something which entire act is an act of enjoyment, you'll say mitzvah slav lehenes nitnu, I'm doing it l'shem mitzvah, and it's no problem. What's the raya? He says, the Gemara says that if somebody makes a neder, that he's not going to go into a mayon. So the halach is, and he has to go into the mayim because he needs to go to the mikvah. So the Gemara says, in the winter he's allowed to go, in the summer he's not allowed to go. The question is why? He's only going because he has to go to the mikvah. Says the Ran, because pshat is that going into water in the summer, even if that's not your intention, is an act of pleasure. Here too, this is an act of pleasure. Now the Gemara, the Mishnah, and we'll learn this a lot of Mitzvah in the coming shir, describes how often a husband has to have relations with his wife. says the Mishnah, Tamidim Yoitzim L'Tamatayra, Tamidim may go to yeshiva to learn, Shloi Brishus, even though their wives don't give them permission, Shloi Shim Yoim. So as Tysus explains, typically, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, a Talmud Chacham has to have relations with his wife once a week. We'll see, typically Friday night. So if he goes to yeshiva for 30 days, he's depriving his wife. Says the Mishnah that you don't have to get permission from your wife. And as we'll learn in the Gemara, if you get permission, you got permission. But if you didn't get permission, you could go even without 30 days. So I saw a Mari de Gavart from Rebbe Yashiv. Rebbe Yashiv says, yes, this Talmud Chacham could go to yeshiva without permission for his wife, from his wife, up to 30 days. But if he goes and he doesn't learn, he's in big trouble. The only reason he was allowed to go, because he was going to learn. But let's say he goes to yeshiva and he's mevatel time, he wastes time, then he's in big trouble. Happy Alim, Shabbos Achas. And workers could go to work for a week with, even without permission. Ha'ona Amur B'Tayra, the typical schedule for Oina, is Tayal in B'chol Yoim. The Gemara Mitzvashem tomorrow will describe who is a Tayal. Happy Alim, workers Shtayim B'Shabbos, twice a week. Hamorim, donkey drivers, Achas B'Shabbos. Hagamalim, camel drivers, Achas L'Shloshim Yoim, once every 30 days. Hasfanim, Achas L'Shish Chadoshim, once every 6 months. Divir Rebbe Elazar. Ask the Gemara, my time to Beishamai. Why does Beishamai say that the nether up to 2 weeks is acceptable? Because Gamri Miyoledes Nekeva. The halacha is that if a woman, we know this in Parashat Tazria, that if a woman has a girl for 2 weeks, no matter what, she's Tamei. So we see that a person could live for 2 weeks without having relations. Ask the Gemara, and says the Gemara, Beisilu, Gamri Miyoledes Zachar. We learn from a Zachar, there it's a week. Ask the Gemara, Ubeisila Namri Nigmar Min Yiladis Nekeva. Why don't we learn from a Yiladis of the Zachar? Why don't we learn from a Nekeva? Answers the Gemara, Imi Yiladis Gamri Law. If we learned from a Yiladis who's a, if we were learning from Yiladis, says Beisila Hachanam, you would be right. I could learn from a Nekeva, and that's why a Neder up to 2 weeks would be acceptable. Ella Beisila, Beisila learns from somebody else altogether. Manida Gamrila. And Anida, Midaraisa, is for a week. Ask the Gemara, B'Gmai Kamufki, what is the basis of the machloikas between Beisham and Beisil? Ma'asav and Midah Deshkiach, Midah Deshkiach. Anida is common, and that a husband and wife, it's hard to say, get angry at each other, is also fairly common. Ma'asav, Midah Hugarmla, Midah Garmla. Who makes a woman pregnant? The husband. Who makes a woman who causes this situation that there's a nether, that he won't have relations? The husband. So that's why it's more similar. Amrav, machloikis, mefarish. The machloikis is only when he said up to 1 week or 2 weeks. Avbastam, if he said that, and he didn't put a date to it, there, derihakul yoytzil alter, yitin ksuba. He has to give her ksuba immediately, because we don't know what's going to be. But Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, even if he didn't indicate a time frame, afilastam, even if he didn't indicate a time frame, nami yamtim, we don't immediately make them divorce, shema yimtsu pesach lenedra. They may find a pesach, and therefore according to Beisil we wait up to a week, and according to Beisham we wait up 2 weeks. Ask the Gemara, this machloikus of Rav Shmuel, hapliga b'chada zimna, we already have this machloikus. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, hamadis ishtim lehenis loy, if somebody makes a neder, that his wife's not allowed to have any pleasure from him, he's not going to support her. At shloshim yoim, if he made it on neder up to 30 days, daloch is yamet paranis, he should take a messenger and take care of her. Yoitz mikat, more than that, yoitz v'yitin ksuba, he has to divorce and pay out the ksuba. On that says Rav, loy shana el mefarish, that he said it's up to 30 days. Al bastam, if he didn't, daloch is yoitz out of eating ksuba, they have to get divorced immediately. Even if he didn't say nami yamtim, we wait. Shema yimtzu pesach lenidroi. Maybe he could find a way to annul the neder. So we see the same machlokes. Answers the Gemara Tzricha. We had to have the machlokes mentioned twice. The itman b'ho b'hokam Rav v'shun d'leif shev aparnas. You know why Rav is machmer in our case? Because you can't ask a messenger to do bia on your behalf. Al bihi, in the case of supporting her, the efshev aparnas, where we have the solution of asking somebody to take care of the financial support, and my dear little Shmuel, that we're not so quick to require a divorce. V'yetim b'hach, we only had that case, perhaps we would say Bahakam Shmuel. That's where Shmuel is machmer, because he's saying that we can't have a messenger take care of the relations. Abaha Emmadul Rav. We are in a case that we can't have a messenger. Maybe he'll agree to Rav. That's why it's Tzricha. One question that I saw the Mefarshim ask before we end the shir. Gemara is saying here that they have to get divorced after a week or after 2 weeks. Mefarshim ask, we just learned in the previous shir that even if they get divorced, they can't have relations for 3 months. She can't get remarried for 3 months. We learned the Gemara Masechta Yevamim, so you need Havchana of 3 months. So why are we so quick to make a divorce? She can't get divorced. She can't get remarried so quickly. So the Tiferes Yerushalayim answers, the reason we're requiring a divorce is not to let her get remarried. She can't get remarried anyway. The reason we're requiring a divorce is he deserves a punishment. That if he did such an unacceptable thing of making such a nether, we say, and he stays with the nether a week or 2 weeks, Beishan Beisilil, you have to divorce your wife. Ellie, we got a